Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandi Lesishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And we're back in the studio on a very cold day.
Why? Were we not in the studio last time?
Well, we skipped 1 week. We skipped 1 week. We were here the previous week, but we did skip 1 week, yeah.
Okay.
And it's getting really cold. I had no power for the last 12 hours.
Yeah, no, it's getting hectic.
And it's not helping that it's so freezing.
I wonder what's going to happen to geysers, because now going into winter, home geysers are going to get colder quicker overnight.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, already my swimming pool has gone from, in the last week, gone from the mid-20s, 22, 24 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
This morning it was at 18.
Yeah, it's getting really cold. Getting really cold right now. Winter is definitely here. It's not coming anymore. I should have worn a jacket. I don't know why I'm trying to be a hero.
Did you watch Miami?
I did watch Miami.
And we're not talking about Miami Vice.
We're not talking about Miami. We're talking about the Miami Grand Prix.
You know what struck me about that race?
Outside of the glitz and the glam. And the,
well, before the that's what I want to talk about. The race was the American pizzazz.
Yeah, they take it too far.
Frickin' hell. I mean, the way they introduced the drivers, I thought was cheesy.
Yeah. Every year they're trying to one-up the previous year. And we're not even in Las Vegas yet. I mean, this is just Miami. So if Las Vegas is going to be, you can imagine it's going to be, you know, all the bells and whistles that the Americans
have. And then some of the celebrities on the track, they just think they're the
coolest guys in the world.
They think they're the flipping it.
It was a good race. Compared to Baku, I think Baku was a little bit more straightforward, whereas Miami, you know, I think the drivers had a lot more to deal with. And Max is fantastic again. Getting kind of,
I don't know. I think Max is a little bit of a child with a tantrum,
but he is a child, and you know, he is a champion, so no. I say it's okay.
I mean, Hamilton used to be a child too,
exactly.
He grew up. See, I'm proud of him for, and Hamilton's not complaining about not winning.
Hard to complain when you know, kind of at the back. I think he's done everything he can do. The team is trying their best.
And I don't mean winning as in winning the race. I mean, Russell's
even against his teammates.
Russell's kicking his tush.
100%.
You know, a little bit. So, and he's not even complaining about that. So I reckon when he finds his groove, he'll be back.
I hope so. Alonso's doing well. So there's your man. He's doing his thing. Mm. And Ferrari, you can see they're still struggling a little bit there.
How's Leclerc's crash?
I wasn't even shocked.
You know what? One of the commentators said, Leclerc is either full tilt, on the edge, or off the edge.
My problem with Leclerc is that he can only do it for a lap at a time. He's not consistent in terms of, like, when you look at Max, for instance, he's just brilliant through it. Like, his focus is razor sharp. Doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference. But, you know, race number five, let's see what happens the rest of the year. I think we're going to
next
see
track.
a lot more changes. We are going to the next track. Let me check. Next track is Monaco, I think.
I watched this weekend was also the Formula E at Monaco.
Yeah, just at the same time. Monaco is Emilia. So, a few more races. I think, a few more races and we'll see some changes. But yeah, Samuel Hill Climb also happened this past weekend. So lots of motorsport. It's been a good week. Honestly. Moving on, George, what are you talking about today?
Well, retail price transparency, apparently.
Yes. So I know this is a topic that you are super passionate about.
I don't know about passionate about, but transparency in general in terms of vehicle purchasing.
Yeah.
Or car buying, should I say, or even car selling is the way the world's going. So, you know, more and more, we've always said that the one thing the internet brings is transparency of car buying and selling. The more transparent the car seller is, the better chance they have to actually move that piece of metal.
Let's take a step back. So before, when people wanted to buy or sell a vehicle in terms of, let's do buying and then let's do selling. When somebody wanted to buy a car before, let's do selling actually first. If somebody wanted to sell their car and they wanted to find out what's the value of the vehicle, how did they do it before? You know, it was kind of this process of looking at everywhere else and making a judgment based off of my car's similar to this one, then I should be getting around this much.
Well, historically, you had two ways, right? Before we started introducing retail valuations, you had two methods. One, retail and trade book values.
Yeah.
That was one of the ways. If you could get your hands on those.
Mostly dealerships had that, but consumers, for the most part, a private seller, for instance.
Yes, wouldn't have known. You know, you'd have to have a friendly dealer, somebody that could tell you. And you're probably not too difficult to find out, but you could find out those retail and trade. The problem with those prices or that data was that it was lagging.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with the data in and of itself, but it was lagging. It was a lagging indicator.
Mm.
By the time those numbers hit the market, it was too late.
2 months in.
Prices
months
moved in on.
Yeah.
Consumers moved on. The internet's creating more transparency. Things are moving faster. Prices have changed. So that was then. The other way to kind of calculate whether you're paying for a car or selling a car at the right price was to eyeball platforms like Autotrader.
Yeah.
It's just to a make, model, variant search and have a look through the list.
Yeah.
And then make a decision. Then we introduced Fusion to dealers. This was years and years ago. Introduced Fusion to dealers to give dealers a sense, car dealers a sense for where they are pricing cars for retail in relation to all the other cars in the market.
Yeah.
Literally took a scatter chart and
this is you know, the trim level, kind of the spec of the vehicle. It's not just based off of make, model, variant, right? Is it deeper in terms of the spec and the features of the vehicle that's going to be giving you kind of the market value?
Well, you know, the deeper you go, the fewer the numbers get in terms of the market size. So market, what we call market comparables.
Mm.
So we gave this tool called Fusion to dealers years ago. Some dealers subscribed to it, others didn't, still continue to use trade and retail book values. What Fusion does, because it's still in the market today, is it gives you the market comparables, and you can filter down those market comparables to as small a market as you want, even down to, you know, regionally.
Yeah.
Which then gave you a retail price calculator on the one side. And, you know, if we put it up here, you can see that scatter chart with the retail calculator, which then gave the car seller the opportunity to, from the prices on the scatter chart, decide how much they were going to pay for a car. We call that retail back valuations. So I can sell this car for 200,000 Rand. My profit in the car is, call it 10%, 20 grand. I have 5,000 rands worth of refurbishment costs. Yeah. So that's
tires, you know, kind of everything you have to do to get back to.
So I'm gonna make a maximum offer on this car from a trade point of view of 175, which then gives me my 20 plus my 5, just as a rudimentary calculation. But then it put you somewhere in the rankings of all the other car sellers of a similar variant.
Within the market.
Within the market with a price mileage chart. Because remember, used cars are not commodities. Every used car is unique. So therefore, you have to decide what the trade and retail price and the nuance in that trade and retail price is depending on how you see your local supply, demand, and price market.
Yeah.
So you can make some decisions based on all of those dots on the scatter chart. But in the end, you're going to have to take an educated decision.
So now this is how this all started.
Yes.
Essentially. And now we're at a point where you don't have to be a dealer to have access to AutoFusion, right? If you are just a private seller.
You still need to be a dealer to have access to Fusion.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're a private seller and you want to sell your car in Autotrader, for instance, we still have tools that are going to tell them what the valuation of the vehicle is.
Yes. So if you go onto Autotrader, you'll see that there's a value your vehicle option under
just value my car.
Value my car on the main menu. And you'll be able to go and put the make, model, variant in and get a valuation range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is this important though? Why is price transparency important? Obviously, we've spoken to the fact that the internet has made the consumer a little bit more knowledgeable in terms of what they should be paying for a vehicle ultimately. But why is it important for success in any sort of dealership, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, the prices will become more and more transparent as the internet proliferates, as it becomes more and more a online buying experience. More and more of the systems, processes, and ways in which consumers buy cars will be online. One of those elements is the value of a car. Mm. And a consumer wants to know whether they are paying the right price. Now, the right price would be within an educated range. Mm-hmm. Because, like we say, used cars are not commodities.
Yeah.
A used car with 100,000 kilometers on it, with the same variant, is not going to be the same value as a used car with 80,000 kilometers on it. But there's going to be an educated range there.
Yeah.
And that's what Auto Trader tries to get right, is what is that range? Where's the sweet spot? And then we try and tell the consumer, this car is priced above that range or below that range or within that range. Mm. And that's what price ratings are.
So it's really about educating the dealership with regards to how much this car is worth in the market. And then at the same time, also the buyer or the consumer telling them if they want to sell, for instance, this is how much you should be expecting to receive.
I wouldn't call it educating the dealer. I'd say exposing to the dealer ahead of the car being online, where this car fits into those price ranges in relation to the other cars and the other competing cars around them. Yeah. So we've exposed that for years and years and years. Now that's come to the front end to the consumer. Now the consumer can see whether the car fits into the price ranges for that particular make, model, variant or not. Mm. And now it's up to the car seller to make a choice.
Where do you want to sit and...
Where do you want to sit? Now, a car that's priced high, okay, or indicated that it's priced high, doesn't make it a bad buy.
So now we're speaking about jumping straight into now Auto Trader price ratings, right? So this is this new feature.
Well, yes, price transparency, this is what this feature is effectively doing. So now...
Can we define price ratings first? Before? I think it's important. How would you define this? I have a definition, but I think... From your train of thoughts, how would you define price rating to somebody who doesn't know any idea what it is? They've never been to the site yet. What is price ratings?
So price ratings is a machine learning algorithm that takes all of the cars and the history of what's gone through the Auto Trader platform for similar vehicles. And then the algorithm tries to predict what the price range of that car should be. Where that price point should be, and again, it's not a specific price; it's within a range.
It's a range, yeah.
And then, so the algorithm takes the history into account. It takes the current prices in the market into account. It takes the trend of where those prices are coming from, going to. It takes the main features on the car into account.
Yeah.
So if a car seller has listed the car incorrectly, they're obviously going to get the wrong price for the car. And that's what we're finding a lot.
Yeah.
Is that the car sellers might be listing cars incorrectly. There's a couple of errors that listers are making, and it's very quickly getting corrected.
Yeah.
Where the car's not listed accurately.
100%. I mean, there's five ratings, right? So it's low fare, great, high, and then there are scenarios where vehicles don't have a rating.
Yes. So low means the car is priced lower than the algorithm's predicted market.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not an average. It's a machine learning algorithm that predicts where the market has come from, where it might be going to, and all the features in the car, including mileage.
Okay.
Fair means it's priced in line with the market. Great means it's priced below the market, just slightly below what that market might be. And then high means it's priced higher than the market. And then if there's no rating, it applies to cars that have very high mileage, or we the machine learning algorithm can't predict the price of the car. Exactly. Okay. It's just not enough data on the car.
So in a scenario where you go into the site and you see a car that's priced at high, for instance, this is not to say that the car is overpriced. Yeah. Right? I think that's a nuance that a lot of people wouldn't be able to understand off of face value. In that scenario, you're telling me that usually the car, for instance, has, you know, better specs, or it's kind of the top of the range.
Not always, but it can be a number of different things. So if a car is priced, if it's got a high price flag, all that it means is it's a flag to the consumer to say, understand why this car is priced higher than its peers and than its history. Understand why, because there could be a very good reason.
Mm.
It's really just an indication to go and have a look.
And low is the same, right? You wouldn't necessarily... Low doesn't always mean like...
Doesn't always mean bad, doesn't always mean good.
Yeah.
It just means check it out, right? If we've priced the car in the green,
mm-hmm.
chances are that if the car is as described, that is something you should... Well, okay, I'm getting a fair deal, yeah.
So I did some digging into, you know, I love playing with the numbers on Autotrader. I did some digging to find out exactly where most of the cars sit. And if you exclude no ratings, so cars that don't kind of fit the description, 84% of the vehicles sat between either fair and great. So that's to say that dealerships are pricing vehicles very much within the market.
Absolutely. So what we're finding is that most car sellers... The high price rating sits on single digit percentages of the cars on their floor. Mm. And in some instances, there is a reason why that car is priced the way it is. Mm. And it is an indicator for the consumer to go and ask, go and have a look. It doesn't mean as a consumer, you must say, this is high priced according to Autotrader. You need to bring the price down. That's not necessarily the answer.
Mm.
The answer could be, why is this car priced higher or has a high price flag? And the dealer could have a very good reason. There could be extras on that car that cause its value to go up.
Mm. Okay. That's really good to know. I mean, we did, I think it was two episodes ago, we spoke about the price of cars going up. But this kind of proves the point that it's not necessarily the car prices are going up, it's just the market as a whole is actually quite balanced in terms of where the pricing of the vehicles are.
Well, I mean, when you've got scale in volumes, the whole market moves in ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Different makes, models, and variants will ebb and flow inside that as well. I mean, on average, we're seeing car prices come down. Versus last year when they were, they're still going up, but they're coming down in terms of year-on-year growth percentages versus last year. But there will be pockets of makes, models, and variants that will go down, and other pockets that will go up.
Mm.
So the whole market is as a global 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 cars. Available for sale will change from month to month and from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
But within those pockets of makes, models, and variants, like a couple of years ago, you found the Hyundai increasing in price when the entire market was decreasing in price.
Mm. Yeah. I heard a story to that point. I heard a story, I don't know if it's true, maybe you know, maybe you don't, that there was a dealer that kind of saw... I think his cars were priced a little bit higher.
Mm.
And he decided to take down meet the markets exactly where they are. And he was able to essentially sell out all of the vehicles as a result of learning all this information and essentially meeting the market where the market was.
Well, we call that the principle of velocity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how velocity works is if I can sell two cars with a profit of 10,000 Rand each, that's better than selling one car with a profit of 15.
For sure.
So that principle of velocity means if I can turn more, I'll make more absolute profit, even although my margin may be less on
each
of the
vehicle,
car.
But
as a whole, my profitability is you're selling a lot more. So that's a principle of velocity. And that's what this dealer, this particular car dealer did. He met the market, I like the way you put that. He met the market where it was.
Yeah.
And he managed to move most of those vehicles where he met the market. And as a matter of fact, his performance on Autotrader went up.
Mm. As a result of this?
As a result of price ratings.
So these aren't just whispers. This is a true story. This really happened.
Yep. Yep. Got the right. It's just changing with the market. Changing with the market. That's all. You got to, you know, I would say one of the pieces of advice I gave Adita the other day is try and have a look at where the most action is on your vehicles during the course of a week.
Mm.
Okay. And just before that spike in activity in search on your vehicles on Auto Trader, mm-hmm. go and review your pricing the day before and see whether you are market related. You might be able to move some cars as a result of changing prices. And that's the principle that I think a lot of car sellers failed to do over the years, and that is consistently change prices.
Mm.
Some car dealers put up cars, listed cars, left the price of the car for two months,
yeah.
Didn't change it.
Yeah.
Whereas if your finger's on the pulse of price transparency, you'll look at that at least once a week.
Well, if you're looking for a car and you want to check out the new features, definitely very much live on the sites. Tell us what you think. See, tell us what you think about the new feature. It's obviously working for a lot of dealerships, and I'm sure a lot of people who are buying cars are going to really appreciate it. So yeah, moving on, George. We've received some questions on Ask Auto Trader about pricing. Since you know we stick to the theme here. So Talita has asked, if a dealer has advertised a car for a certain price on the site, do they have to honor the price?
No.
Because they were in a scenario where they went to the dealership and they found that the price on the site versus the price that they received at the dealership was about 30,000 Rand more expensive.
So the answer is not necessarily, okay. Appreciate the fact that you might experience that or come across that. But look at what I just said.
Mm.
If I was a dealership, keeping my finger on the price pulse mm-hmm. means changing the prices of all my cars once a week.
Mm.
Price to market, that's what we call it. So to get velocity in vehicle turnover, you've got a price to market.
Okay.
Okay. It's almost like the stock trading principle. There's a stock trading principle called mark to market, if you're a stock trader. Mm. You price your vehicles to market and you do it regularly. And I'm saying once a week, that's what I would do. Okay, price to market once a week. Now, does price to market once a week mean that you're always adjusting your price down as a car seller?
No, it could also be going up.
Why could it be going up? Because demand is going up.
Yeah.
Look at the Hyundai Tucson example.
Mm.
If I see demand going up on a Hyundai Tucson and supply coming down and I've got a Hyundai Tucson on my floor and I see, hold on a second, prices are rising for this car, I'm going to push the price up.
For sure.
That's called market economics.
For sure.
Economics 101. So unfortunately, Talita, you are going to find a scenario, especially now in today's world. You have the benefit of price transparency, but so does the car seller.
Mm.
It's not only the consumer that has the benefit of the price transparency now.
That's what transparency is, right? So
everybody's got access to it.
Exactly.
So the dealer's got even more access than the consumer has. The consumer has the price flag, yes, but the dealer's got access to the data points of every other car that is comparable in the market. So in this particular scenario, sorry, Talita, but you might have come across a scenario where the dealer's advertised a certain price. You've gone into the dealership and he has just marked the car up.
Mm.
For whatever reason. So that's a dynamic market. It's constantly moving.
So there are no laws with regards to an advertised price being the price that you have to honor as a seller?
It's a good question. I think there was there's some theories around like retail stores advertised
specifically
on the shelf.
Retail stores. I've been in a scenario where I saw a price for a TV and I went to go inquire about it. This scenario, they did make a mistake, to be fair, and they got in trouble for it, but they had to essentially honor that advertised price.
Yeah, I would check on that. I mean, I don't know what the laws are around it, but there could be errors.
Mm.
It could be a case that they've changed the price. There could be a whole bunch of scenarios. I'm not defending either one.
For sure. You're saying it depends.
It depends. What is the scenario in that particular case?
100%.
You know, if they're trying to mislead the consumer, well, that's a different story.
Sorry, completely.
You know, that's just unethical. But if it's part of the market dynamics of it, it's not always possible to change everything all at the same time. Mm. You know, you might change the sticker price on the car. You do that on your floor, then it has to go through a process and somebody in the background needs to go and change it online, et cetera. And, you know, so those dynamics could be there.
100%.
Prices of cars are going to change even more now with price ratings on a more regular basis. Mm. And it doesn't mean, Mr. Consumer, that the prices are always going to go down. They might go up.
I think it's important to just call the dealer, and, you know, if it's advertised this price, see if it's still the case with them.
I would encourage dealers to just be transparent about it. Average prices are going up. Inquiries on this car has gone up. I've put the price up. Sorry, I haven't put it up online yet. Mm. These are the reasons. As long as you're not trying to mislead the consumer or try and do anybody in.
Okay. Last question. I think we're out of time. Okay. So Angus asks, does the price I see include VAT on site?
Well, the short answer is yes.
Okay.
It's the same as prices you see on the retail shelves. It always includes VAT. The only place that it might not include VAT is on our commercial platform. 100%. But then it's indicated as such.
As such, okay. 100%. That's pretty much all I have time for today. But thank you so much for joining me, George. And thank you guys for watching.
Go Alonso.
Let's go Hamilton, please. I beg you.